for those listening to KSBN Money Talk Radio who might be interested in buying physical precious metals for less than what I can pay for them, stay tuned. I have a way you can support this show and secure what I believe is the best price for precious metals on the existing market. In our first commercial break, I will explain this in more detail. And now, let's get on with Reclaiming the Republic. Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This is G.R. Mobley. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. If you go to ReclaimingTheRepublic.org, you can download our podcast and support documents and links. This is an educational, grassroots program designed to restore the Republic and placing the general government, or what many refer to as the federal government, back into the constitutional framework and scope of the Constitution. Well, last week, we were talking about republicanism and the Republican form of government, and a lot of people are just waiting with bated breath to get back into this. But before we do, our toll-free number to call in is 844-320-4299. Many parts of these shows refer to previous shows, just like last week's show is bleeding in or leading into this show where we're going to hopefully conclude on Republican form of government. All of these shows build off of each other in an educational forum. Consequently, you need to stay abreast with all the content so that you can put all these things together, because it's like meshing gears or dovetails and so forth to get these things to join together so that they make sense to you. You really need to listen to all these shows. And that is how we can reclaim the Republic, is through informing you with information and empowering you with intelligence, because the greatest weapon is knowledge. Don't forget, you can download these podcasts at ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. For local announcements, let me first send out a kudos to a local company up in North Spokane. It's Quam's Watch Center. I went in there a few weeks ago with a brand new watch thinking that the battery was dead, having bought watches before that the batteries were dead, and thinking, oh, you know, I need to get the battery replaced. So I took it in, and they took it into the back, and they came back, and typically I would be expecting to pay for a new battery. But instead they said, oh, no, there's these protectors on the leads. You just had to pull these out, and voila, your battery works, and no charge. And maybe lots of places do that here, but this is the first time I've actually had somebody with that kind of integrity and honesty, and they're dealing with just somebody off the street walking in and saying, I need a new battery. Because every time I've walked into a jewelry store or a watch repair store, I've paid for a new battery when I've bought a brand new watch, and I've had similar circumstances as I give a watch to somebody. And so this was a gift I gave to someone. And anyway, I was just so impressed with their honesty and integrity. I find it absolutely refreshing. So that's Quam's Watch Center, and that is at 3916 North Lincoln Street up in North Spokane. I believe no good deed should go unpunished, so I think that they should be, you know, pummeled with all sorts of customer service and people going into their establishment for watch services and or repairs as what have you. Another local announcement, the Stevens County Lincoln Day Dinner, as I've been saying, is the 6th of May. Check out the post on Mobius Strip Press. I've got some info there as to the speakers and so forth. And the keynote speaker is our very own Kathy Rogers McMorris, CMR, or Kathy McMorris Rogers, I'm sorry, CMR. And I'm really terrible with names. People should have numbers. I guess that's why we have Social Security numbers. Anyway, you can get your tickets online. You can, I think you can get the information from my post as to who to call to get your reservations and how to pay for them and so forth. This is a fun event. You will enjoy yourself. The people are the best, and you will just feel like you're at home and having just a big, huge family dinner. That said, The Spokane County GOP is hosting their Lincoln Day dinner on June 3rd. And I believe their keynote speaker is, and I'm going to, again, bad with names, Tommy Lorraine, I think is the pronunciation of the name. That's the gal that was on The Blaze, that claims she was fired, and The Blaze is saying she's not. But anyway, she's their keynote speaker, as I understand it. And get the tickets while they are still available, because I hear they're going fast. The Constitution Party, the local Constitution Party, has a monthly meeting tomorrow, April 20th, at Sherry's Restaurant. This is on 320 North, because there's a lot of Sherry restaurants in the area. So this is at 320 North Sullivan Road, Spokane Valley. The meeting starts at 6, and as you meet, you can actually have dinner while you're listening to them talking about the Constitution and so forth. This show is really not about party. As you listen to my spots, my advertisement, I'm trying to get, I believe, all these like-minded people with these minor variations on some principles here or there between the Libertarians, GOP, and the Constitution Party, and coming together. The fact is, these other two parties, Libertarian and Constitution parties, are splinter groups that left the GOP because they felt the GOP left them, and I think they had a good foundation on why they left and why they went off to do this other thing. But ever since then, it is only dividing us. And what really they should have done is they should have stood up and said, no, the GOP needs to stand for the Constitution and our founding principles. Put aside your progressive ways, because they were definitely progressives. I mean, Teddy Roosevelt, being a Republican, was upset that he couldn't embrace the progressive communist ideologies because he graduated from Harvard too soon before it got there. And so that's one of the reasons why he established the Trust Busters and stepped on the Constitution in every way he thought he possibly could. And all of the progressives continue to do that because they don't believe that the Constitution will constrain them. And that's because the states are not holding them accountable to that contract. It's their contract, and you've learned that here. So anyway, that's it for the local announcements. So instead of the usual quick constitutional look at the recent week of events, I know you've probably had your full dose of North Korean failed missiles and all the other current events that are going on with Russia and within the domestic violence of the United States. Let's get into republicanism and Republican form of government, because it's critical that you understand this. Why is it that we have a bicameral Congress? And I just don't think that enough people have a grasp on this dual sovereignty. So I want to get into this a little bit more. So I need your help in trying to focus on the big picture and not in the framework or simplicity of a pure democracy. It's not we the people. We the people has become a branding for democracy, that we all have a voice and that is it. The framers recognized that there needed to be a level of sovereignty that was shared between all the parties that were involved in this republic. And it was absolutely genius of what they did. Sheer genius, divine genius, as I've said before. So last week I discussed the historical perspective on this. I also mentioned some end goals for motivational purposes. How would you like to repeal the 17th Amendment? That was one of the goals. How would you like to make state governments Republican in form and representative of both the people and the counties once again? How would you like to permanently change the makeup and focus of the U.S. Senate so we don't have to worry about their swing to mob rule or democratic structure? How would you like to turn that U.S. Senate into a bulwark of conservative constitutional senators who are doing their job of protecting state sovereignty once again instead of shills for special interests and lobbyists who buy their loyalty and buy their programs and policies or basically inflict those upon us? So bottom line, Trump, I've criticized him, and he's the most constitutionally illiterate president we've ever had. I can't think of many because he just didn't come from that school of thought. I mean, he came up on business and didn't necessarily care too much about, you know, those dealings of the Constitution and how they affected his business maybe, but that was it. Now, as I hear this music, we'll be right back, so please stay tuned. All right. Well, I was talking about Trump needing our help before I had that loud burst of music. Let me apologize. I'm still working on trying to be the professional epitome of a radio host. But long story short, I'm not in this business to become a multimillionaire Glenn Beck or Rush Limbaugh or any of these other guys. I'm only doing this to reclaim the Republic. Once we're going down that right path, and once my leadership is no longer required in stating the obvious things that nobody else is saying, then I can go off and do the things I really want to do. And those are kind of personal things that I want to do. And maybe if you really know me, I might share those with you. But I just don't have an interest in making a long-time career, regardless of how good I may get at this. So I beg your forgiveness in some of the imperfections of this radio show, but I hope you understand that the heart and intent behind this is one to help you, to educate you, and to help motivate you in assisting us and in moving us in the right direction for both at a local level, at a state level, and at a level of the Republic. Anyway, as I was saying, Trump needs our help. And we need his help if we're going to move this republic onto the path that where it should be, like making America great again. We also need those politicians interested in protecting their seats for the right reasons, not for the position of power or what have you, but in serving and protecting our liberty and preserving our Constitution and getting them to get committed, getting informed, and get results, are getting them to become result-oriented, or we need to replace this dead weight in our hallowed halls of governance in Olympia, the state capitals here in the city hall, with our city council and so forth. We need to start getting rid of the dead weight that has decided to inflict us and or enslave us with these progressive policies and programs to basically make us slaves of the state. So in this process of getting rid of the dead weight and the destructive enemies in place, all we have to do is work together. But these progressives are working endlessly to take away or get us to surrender our liberties through their progressive programs and policies, like I said, to enslave us. As you see, doing shows like this, it's easy to digress down one path or down another. As I was saying last week, back in the forming of the Republic, the citizens guarded their suffrage, their ability to vote, and their government with extreme jealousy because the two were interrelated and because the government then and even today have proven to be oppressive objects, such as the government the framers had just recently repelled, and in context to their current position, they were unaware that they were going to have to face them in war again, such as the War of 1812, to finally actualize their real independence from Britain. One must remember that the citizens voted for their representation in the House of Representatives in Congress and their legislatures in the state. and the legislatures in the states appointed senators to the U.S. Senate. It was their state representatives who understood the issues at hand and appointed the appropriate senators to represent them and made sure they were well informed of what their needs and requirements were. This was the Republican form of government. In other words, it was the foundation of a bicameral government. As I pointed out, counties at the state level had their representation in the states as modeled after the newly formed Constitution. What is the purpose of having bicameral legislation? I keep on saying bicameral. What does that mean? While you ponder the question of a bicameral body of legislators, bear in mind the business of a politician is to please his constituents. Have you ever heard the term, you cannot serve two masters? It is ludicrous to think a senator who is selected in a general election, who is supported by big money, can represent the interests of the state, let alone the people who vote them in. Their job isn't making things better for anybody but these big companies. Ergo, that's why we've been going down this path of global governance. That's why they keep on coming up with policies and programs and supporting these things that are either forcing us to lose liberties or getting us to surrender our liberties. As I've been saying, our Senate is the most bought body of government in America today. Maybe other than the president, but he's just a single person, not a body of government. The Senate is a house of corruption. The framers created it as a mainstay to protect the state sovereignty and to protect the people. However, this body of corruption and these senators, they love their position of influence without accountability to the people and, more importantly, accountability to the states whom they're supposed to be serving. The concept of multi-level sovereignty that the framers put into place evaporated due to the advent of socialism, communism, and trying to swing our republic towards democracy. Most people don't know that the advent of socialism and communism didn't happen when Marx and Engels published the Communist Manifesto. Socialism, and if you've listened to the show, it started at the late 18th century. The French Revolution was a byproduct of communism and socialism. And if you look at their form of government, they were not a republican form of government, and so they were a democratic monarchy. And so these people overthrew the monarch, and the byproduct of that was, instead of swinging towards a, you know, the, what do you want to call that, the utopian dream of governance, they ended up getting Napoleon as a despot who led them into wars and, you know, killed lots of Frenchmen and other Europeans. Anyway, today's counties, if you look at the grand scheme of a republic and each state being a republic and the counties being a seat of government within the Republic of Washington, today's counties have no voice or representation in their state's legislation. In the U.S. Senate today, over $1 billion in each election cycle pours into the cesspool from special interest globalists and billionaires like Soros and multinational corporations. They funnel money into our U.S. senator seats and causes to ensure they can get the best government money can buy. This is why Cantwell and many others had millions and millions of dollars, tenfold if not more, over their competitors in the race. You know, you hear the Democrats complain about campaign financial freedom. They will never complain about the way they're getting money and the way they're able to maintain their seats of power and influence. It's all lip service. And we can change this and get this lucre out of the hands of our government and the representatives of our sovereignty and our state sovereignty in Congress. Why is it we never hear a Democrat or a progressive speak to these issues with real solutions in this manner? They only do the lip service, like the monkey on a string dancing with the organ grinder when he plays a song. To be clear, the Democrats like complaining about the influence of special interests when all the while they are the ones getting most of their donations from these special interest groups. These groups are the ones paying for and ramming the destructive programs and policies down our throats, like Obamacare, these environmental policies and so forth, stealing our properties, our liberties, and our rights. This way, these politicians can continue to violate their oath of office, because their oath says that they're supposed to protect and defend the Constitution and not serve themselves. Again, I hear music in my ear, so, and you probably hear it too. The Fanfare for the Common Man is playing, so that means we're going into a break. So please stay tuned and I will get into this final thoughts of republicanism. Putting things behind us and moving forward, I'm here to tell you that the politicians that are violating their oath to undermine our Constitution, to do this in selling us out to globalists and out to these special interests and putting us into programs and policies that are designed to tear away our liberties and what we understand as our inalienable rights. I'm here to tell you history proves that even though these senators and these corrupt politicians think they're immune, they may be in some ways right now enjoying the life of an elitist. But this immunity goes away when things collapse. And those who are left, you know, holding the bag, so to speak, when it all comes down, it never bodes pretty. Go look at the French Revolution, because sure, the aristocrats and the monarchs and the royal family and so forth, they lived great for a long time. But, you know, when the kind of like musical chairs, when the music stops and you don't have a seat, then you're kind of out. And there's going to be a lot of seats that'll be taken away when this collapses. And there's going to be a lot of politicians and sidekicks and so forth that are going to be running around trying to figure out what they're going to do. And, you know, history plays this out. You will find them turning around and trying to convince the people that they were innocent or they didn't mean these things or what have you. It never bodes well for them. To be fair, the Democrats are commonly joined by progressive Republicans, because that's pretty much a two-party system. Really, for the most part, at the national level, we kind of have a one-party system until the Republican Party puts their foot down at a national level and says, we're going to be about the Constitution and we're going to embrace our founding principles. Anywho, this is progressive speak for enslaving us. When we hear, you know, the two parties were for this, were for that, and we hear these progressive Republicans like Paul Ryan, you know, tell us we're going to repeal the bill and now we're going to have an equally unconstitutional health care bill. This is how they're out to enslave us. And the Republicans are equally engaged in some of these things with social safety nets, climate change, environmental protection. Nobody wants to destroy the environment. Equal protection, supposedly helping out the poor, and a plethora of varying excuses for invading every facet of our lives, from what we can buy or sell or how we choose to live. It is one thing for the states to do this, to, you know, intrude upon our lives and to take our liberties, because there is, unless our state constitution limits them and empowers the counties to do so, the states actually are an ultimate sovereign over the people and the counties, and they can trample on us other than the fact that they cannot take away the voice of the counties constitutionally, which they've been doing. And that's the whole point of this. If you understand the dual sovereignty that the framers identified, then you can understand why the counties have such a big role in this. The states can dictate codes and such laws and so forth because they're empowered to do so. And if one wants a perfect example of a tyrannical state overstepping its bounds and stepping on the liberties of its people, just look at California. Just look south a little bit. California is doing what they're doing to their poor citizens today is criminal. They're basically giving away that state to illegal aliens and to thugs and so forth. California is the perfect poster child for a progressive state going on steroids. And it is at the expense of those who are working hard, the producers, and you know the families that have two jobs just trying to make ends meet and so forth. The Californians are suffering from democracy. And if a state is in harmony with a Republican form of government, I doubt the progressives would ever be able to get a toehold into a political stranglehold situation like you have in California. This is because California has 58 counties, and unfortunately for them, just like Washington, the counties have lost their representation in the state Senate. If those 58 counties were represented, then you would find that there would be far more conservative counties in that state Senate that they would never be able to have these progressive policies getting past these counties. But because they've been able to do gerrymandering and basically warping, you know, several counties and creating a single legislative district like they do here in Washington, they've completely silenced five counties, sometimes even eight or nine counties in California. So instead of having nine voices in the Senate, they only have one. Sadly, the citizens of the many disparate states have not been taught the importance of our form of republicanism and a republican form of government. Too few citizens understand our form of republicanism, and even less understand our republican form of government. That simply, they simply believe, or most of the people that I have met, and it, you know, I'm not a scientific surveyor, but every time I've been in classes or in groups or what have you, and when I ask, sure, I'll get, you know, the conservatives to say, yeah, we're a Republican form of government. You know, we're not a democracy. But what does that mean? I very rarely, I mean, it is a very small, minuscule percentage of people that really understand that Republican form of government. And this is really wrong. And this, again, is a shining star for our progressive education system. They have dumbed us down so well that we don't even know that they're stealing our liberties and they're stealing our government from us. First and foremost, republicanism is not the principles or policies of the Republican Party. It is a system of government, and it happens to be our system of government, and more specifically, a very specified form of republicanism is our form of government. Because in context to all republicanism and all republics, the people were the sovereigns, and that was it. There was a single sovereignty that the people picked their representation, and that was it. A basic republican form of government is where the collection of countries, nations, counties, or what have you, are considered a public matter, not the private concern or property of the rulers, and where offices of state are elected or appointed rather than inherited. It is a government where the head of state is not a monarch. In America, the definition of a republic also refers specifically to a government in which elected individuals represent sovereign bodies. I'm separating this from sovereign the people to sovereign bodies or entities. If the representative strictly represented the citizen body, then it would be referred to as a representative democracy. The representatives exercise their power according to the rule of law founded here by our Constitution. However, we don't have a representative democracy. We have a hybrid constitutional republic where the states have and have retained their sovereignty over us, the people, and over the counties, where they still have a county form of government. Nowhere in the world, in the history of the world, for that matter, has ever a republic stood in practice or name, ever divided or attempted to have a multi-tiered republic where separates. And what, let me go back. So if you look at the Roman Empire or the old British Empire and the republics of Europe, the sovereignty was always left with whomever the monarch was. Now, the Senate in Rome was the sovereigns until they surrendered that sovereignty to Caesar. But the people were never sovereigns. And in our republic, the people were one of the sovereigns that were remaining. And in Madison's genius, or I should say in our good Lord's brilliance, he recognized that by sharing the sovereignty with the states, that the states and the people could share or have a separations of power. And that was the big key to our government back then, separations of power. Now, I'm going to be wrapping up here. So my last segment is coming up after this break. So please stay tuned and we'll hopefully have the epiphany. I'll be right back. Well, so before we were going into the break, I was talking about how this republic is different than all other republics because of our bicameral legislation, because of the dual sovereignty that they created in this new American form of republicanism, this new American form of ensuring the voice of those who had sovereignty. And you know, go up to your county seat, go to where your county commissioners are, and you tell them that they're not sovereigns. You tell them that they don't have any ability to write laws and to, you know, put up stop signs or whatever, you know, those good functions that they do, and tell them they might as well just pack up and go away. That ain't going to happen. They are a seat of government and they do have a very specific role. The problem is that they've lost their voice. And in our republic, the state of Washington, they are the ones that should be selecting, just like in the national republic, the state should be selecting who sits in that body of the Senate to ensure that what the people want doesn't conflict too greatly with what the counties need done. And so when we move ourselves towards sole representation, the next thing you know, the people are going to get all sorts of goodies. And we're almost at the point of the collapse of Rome, where Caesar started throwing Rome or gold off of the top of a building out to the people just to give the people gold, just to make them happy. And actually, I forget which Caesar it was. It was I think it was the son of Caligula. But anyway, the reason he did that was to try to create chaos and to try to get the people's minds off of their problems, because as long as they had gold and they could feed themselves, they were happy. And then along came Circus Maximus. You know, as long as they had these great entertainment, you know, people were happy. So now we have the NFL, MLB, NBA, and all sorts of, you know, great games of gladiators, and we're happy. Really? they're going to dictate with the, how much, you know, wattage you can burn in your, you know, the type of light bulb you can have, the, how much water you flow in your toilet and so forth, your shower head and how wet you can get in your shower. They can dictate those things and we're happy. They were never designed to dictate those things. Those things are constitutional overreaches and encroachments upon the states and our sovereignty. So most often a republic is a single sovereign state, as I've said, but there are also sub-sovereign states and state entities that are referred to as republics, such as our republic. And that was the brilliance in what they were doing. So when you look at all of these other republics that exist in the world today, not one of them has a bicameral legislative body where there is a separation of powers, as I was saying before we went into the break. The reason they had to have these separations of power is because the average citizen doesn't know the needs of consumptions of energy for the state. You just know that you have to pay an electrical bill. You just know that you need so much water to water your lawn or whatever it is you need to do. And they have to manage it at a much greater level. And they have to understand, you know, as new businesses rise, like Silicon Valley or Tequila or what have you, if one market space, such as an agrarian market, goes towards a high-tech market and they start converting the Tri-Cities into a Silicon Valley, then maybe they don't need some of the infrastructure services that they currently have, but maybe they need new ones to support them. And that's the state's job, because out here in Spokane, we may be completely oblivious to that. But those in those counties should understand that, and those counties should be attuning and ensuring that the budget is there to do the things that they need to do. I like to ask people, what are the two objects of government? Do you know what the two objects of government? Do you go read Federalist Paper number 10? Madison clearly identifies that government really only has two objects. And if you look at these two objects and what they are, you'll quickly find the government is not doing those two objects anymore. They're doing a lot more, and they're doing other things instead of those objects. Anyway, the Article 4 of the Constitution clearly states something. It's called the Guaranteed Clause. And Article 4, Section 4 of our Constitution, go read it for yourself. The very first phrase there states this: the U.S. Constitution, or the United States, guarantees to every state in this union a republican form of government. In other words, in the Constitution, they basically set the standard down and said, you have to have a republican form of government. And so what does that mean? Well, in American republicanism, that means that the sovereigns have a voice in their government, that they have a place within the hallowed halls of legislation to ensure that their voices are represented. And in our state, and in almost all of the states of this union, I think 48 states are not following the Constitution. Technically, one state that's kind of following the Constitution isn't really following, and that's Nebraska, because Nebraska does not have a bicameral Congress, but I do believe they have counties. So they have counties that don't have any voice. I've never really looked at Nebraska. So, I mean, there's a lot of different facets involved here, but I do know that the way they manage their electoral college is per the electoral seat, or I should say per the apportionments. In other words, the way electoral colleges are supposed to work, because that's how we select our president, the congressional district that we live in, which is CMR, in that legislative district, how we vote for that elector is supposed to go and cast the ballot. But the way the states have stepped on our sovereignty of our congressional district, they basically say, well, whoever takes the state by 50 plus one, then they get all the electors. In other words, they have taken away our voice of representation. They should never be allowed to do that. And that's the same thing down to the counties and so forth. We should not allow them to take our representation. They've convinced us to say, well, it's about the people, giving the people the voice. No, it was about dual sovereignty and separations of power. So there's a distinct set of differences for the word republic as it evolved in the United States. In common parlance, a republic is a state that does not practice direct democracy, but rather has a government indirectly controlled by sovereigns. This understanding of the term was originally adopted and defined by James Madison and notably employed in the Federalist Papers number 10, like I just said earlier, when he talked about the two objects of government. So the good news here, folks, is that as we see these changes have occurred, guess what? These changes have occurred by the state in non-compliance to the contract. In other words, they have just basically violated the Constitution and changed our form of government because nobody really understood it anymore. Who understands what this guarantee clause is? And because these changes occurred outside the legal constraints of the Constitution, that means that we have, a great opportunity while Trump and while Congress supposedly is being occupied by conservative Republicans, then there is a way to get this back. And as a matter of fact, getting the counties their voice back in the states is a very easy thing under this guarantee clause, so that the state capitals no longer have a senator for these gerrymandered legislative districts. It all goes back to the counties and the apportionment of representatives and senators going back to counties, just like states. Would the states have allowed Wyoming, Montana, and all these other states to say, well, because you have such a small population, you're only going to get one congressional representative and we're going to lump you in so you only get two? No. States are sovereigns, just like counties, and the counties have the entitlement under Republican form of government as a voice within that government. If this is resonating with anybody that's in county government or in a county that feels like you're being overtaken by the mass population to the west of us, we're not a democracy and we can basically, take this republic back. But by doing so, we would literally have to get Congress involved because this is not justiciable by the Supreme Court. I'll try to get into the very last part of this in my next show. I'm sorry I ran out of time. Hopefully this helps. Stay tuned next week and we'll get into even more Federalist Papers. And thank you much for listening and we'll see you next week.